Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and good evening. This is the Illumination Station. We're happy to be with you tonight. I'm so excited. It's my first show, and the episode tonight is called Fire and Ice, The Planets Move Forward. And joining me tonight, I have my wonderful friend Jacqueline. We've worked together for many years. Jacqueline, are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
Great. Hi. How are you? Pretty exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting. Yes, we have worked for many years together, and it's so much fun always to have you co-hosting with me. I just love it.
We always have a good time. And we are living in some very, shall we say, challenging times, are we not?
Well, I'd use the word colorful times.
Well, one of the reasons I wanted to start the show this week is because everyone has been calling me now, I mean, for a couple of months, because of these three planets that have been retrograde, and now the last one is getting ready to go direct.
Yay, yes.
Yay. And little by little, things are starting to move forward. It seems like it's at a snail's pace, but we're somehow all surviving it. We're going a million miles an hour and going three steps.
Absolutely. That's the way it feels. A million miles an hour, but only getting three steps.
Exactly. Yes. Well, Jacqueline and I have been doing astrology for more years than we care to mention on the air. Correct, Jacqueline?
Yeah, we'd definitely be putting some age there.
We spent 20 years in Florida doing a lot of events together and becoming great friends and really putting the word out there how to, you know, try and work with timing and work with the planetary forces for people who didn't understand it, because astrology, as much as it's a mystical and a psychic art, it's also a little complicated. And a lot of people, although they enjoy it and they want to tap into it, it is a study that takes a certain amount of time to really be at home with it, where it becomes part of you. Don't you agree, Jacqueline?
Oh, I totally agree. It is a science, just like anything, you know, any other science is. And there's a lot of data and a lot of information to put it together. But on the other circumstances, as you know, both of us have really come a long way with putting it together.
Well, we're going to give you a little bit of an overview of some of the main themes of the ponderous planets that are going on right now. And then we're going to take a couple live calls. If you'd like to call in, our guest call-in number is 213-286-6741. And again, that's 213-286-6741. And I have to tell you, you know, this whole thing between, you know, Uranus and Pluto is like the star of the show tonight.
Well, you know, the good thing is about that is that when Jupiter finally goes direct, we'll finally get a little relief from those two bouncing off of each other.
Yes, I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. Yeah. And everybody's been saying, you know, when? When is this going to happen? Take a deep breath, wait till the close of the year, have a happy holiday, do what you can, and then hit the ground running.
Absolutely. That's the way to do that. Because Pluto being in Capricorn makes it very slow of a transition, and Uranus makes it, in Aries, makes it want it now, and let's move, let's go.
Just to give the people that are listening a little background, Pluto, the planet of life, death, rebirthing, transformation, it's not a personal planet, it's a ponderous planet. And its basic rule is that two things cannot exist in the same place at the same time on planet Earth. Therefore, the lesser will be removed for the greater to be built. And the
Absolutely.
Last time Capricorn was during the Revolutionary War, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And that's
so
and you
see
can
that.
See from that example that foundationally everything shifted and changes. People's psychology, the way they look at things, their perspective of life, the bigger picture, and that's what we're talking about, is the bigger picture is definitely changing. These are world changes in everybody. It's definitely, as you call it, the ponderous planets. They're the ones that are bigger. They're the ones that change cycles of life. Just not, you know, just not an each individual, but everybody.
Exactly. And you are always so encouraging. But Pluto in Capricorn. Capricorn not only rules, it's a cardinal earth sign, so we're seeing the earth changes, but it also rules government, which is why we're seeing the government changes.
Mm-hmm.
Now Uranus, of course, is the liberator. It's the revolutionary planet. Okay, and remember now, Pluto was last year during the Revolutionary War. Now Uranus is in Aries, which is the I am presence. Let's set them free. Let's do it now. Let's grasp our freedom. Let's be individuals. And so these two squaring each other is calling us, as Jacqueline pointed out, to do that in the big sphere, but also these things also affect our own personal birth charts as well. Correct?
Yes, each person individually is going to change individually. That's the point. Even though we're having world changes, each individual change is going to be there. Everybody's chart is different, and everybody, and so it affects everybody in a different aspect of their chart. So, for instance, somebody's career might be radically changing at this point in time, as opposed to somebody's home might be changing at this point in time for foundational changes. You might be moving across country or things like this. For different purposes or different reasons. And when it comes to each individual chart, it's where it hits it in that chart that's going to make that foundational change.
Absolutely. You know, I got a call from one of my clients down in Florida the other day that her house is falling into a sinkhole.
Oh, lovely.
How much Pluto and Capricorn can you get?
I don't think there's any closer to Pluto and Capricorn square that you can get on that one. That's pretty
she's
physical
got a Capricorn
transformation.
A she's got a Capricorn ascendant and a Capricorn moon, Jacqueline. Can you believe this?
Oh.
Poor girl.
Oh. No wonder. Her soul is being picked up.
But the good news about these planets is, again, they can bring wonderful epiphanies and changes that can stand the test of time. I mean, interestingly enough, I mean, right now Uranus is in direct trine to my midheaven or my high aspiration point in my career, and I've been starting a whole bunch of new things that I want to do with my clients and different ways I want to teach some of the psychic arts and everything. And I'm thinking that that's probably why I've been kind of like incubating them, and now all of a sudden I want to launch everything. But it's good.
That would be a classic part of that, absolutely. Slow and steady wins the race there.
So do you want to illuminate those that may be listening about this retrograde Mercury cycle that we've been going through?
Oh, in Sagittarius. Yay, it's done and over with. You know, that's the good part about it is that Mercury went retrograde in the early stages of Sagittarius, and it has finally started its trek back forward. And being in Sagittarius, Sagittarius is definitely the teacher, okay, of all of them. It's higher education or higher understanding would be a better way of putting it. And so what it's done, and the other part of it that I like that it's really helped out with is that people have been really enlightened and awakened about, really truly about their spiritual beliefs or their religious beliefs, what is right for them morally. And so in some form or another, we have had our religious beliefs challenged as well as our knowledge challenged with this Mercury retrograde. Now, it has gone direct, so now is the time to start cleaning that stuff up and that it showed us during that period of time and putting it back in order where it belongs.
Exactly. I think it's technically in its shadow until, I think, it's New Year's Day or the day after.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I think it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's New Year's Day that it finally lets go of that shadow. So during that period of time, it's still going to reveal itself as far as challenges are concerned. It will definitely make you look at things as far as right and wrong in your life.
Exactly. The thing I like about Sag, too, is there's a sense of humor. There's a certain amount of storytelling, you know, a bit of remember when. You know, reconnecting with all your friends near and far because Sagittarius rules travel, people booking their flights for Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever they're celebrating. And it was maybe hard to get it, but they finally probably did get it because the retrograde said, okay, we'll let you go back there.
Absolutely, and it does. It definitely, you know, I like that about it. It brings back tradition and things like this that we haven't seen on a holiday for a while, the fun, more fun part of it, the party. When I talk about Sagittarius, because it is a dual personality, it's a dual sign, it has the fun party style, which is always great, you know, that excessive, let's have a good time thing. And that's really the theme of this Christmas, is let's have a good time and really enjoy the traditions that we've had and really connect with the people that we really care about.
Exactly. The other thing I thought was very interesting is I thought it was interesting that Uranus finally went direct the day of the lunar eclipse.
Yes.
And I'm like, wow, that is very telling. So this eclipse must have, you know, a lot of power. What did you see in it when you looked at it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, especially because the lunar eclipse was in Gemini.
Exactly, all that nice communication energy.
Yeah, it really brought out people, you know, to be able to communicate better, to be able to look at things in a younger form or a lighter form, to really express it more than what they have, especially on that instantaneous moment, which, you know, usually doesn't work. But with it, at this point in time, that lunar eclipse during the next couple of weeks, we're really going to find that people are going to be able to express their feelings and opinions a little bit more appropriately, even though they normally wouldn't express it. But that Uranus and Aries is definitely, you know, going to kick it off.
I like it.
So don't be surprised if you say something that you normally wouldn't.
Exactly. Now, the other thing that I really liked about the lunar eclipse chart is that Neptune and Saturn had that beautiful trine going on. And for those that are listening, Neptune is the planet of dreams and illusion. It rules all things unseen, faith, artistic talent, the ability to heal and be healed. But on the other side of the coin, it rules like disillusionment. And Saturn is the great teacher of the zodiac, and it helps things to take form. It's exalted in Libra right now. So this is nice because we can manifest our dreams with a sense of peace, is how I kind of saw that. What was your take on that, Jacqueline?
I take it a little bit differently than you because I look at the balance of Libra. And so I do find it rebalancing the peace. I find people finding more of a peaceful place with what is happening, whether it be the delusion that's coming out, and they're going, okay, now I see the delusion, and I can come to peace with that and understand that and accept that part of it. Or I've seen it on the other side to where people have been recharged in their spiritual beliefs and going more towards their higher being and really setting a stronger example of, you know, this is what I believe and this is who I am and this is the way I feel it is. You know, and a very calmness to that of rebalancing and bringing them back into that enlightenment again.
Absolutely. I agree as well. The wonderful thing about astrology is you can always learn from it, you know, and you can take the possibilities and the potentials and raise them to a higher level. Or you can decide, you know, I have too many squares. I think I'm going to abandon that right now.
Absolutely. There's too many challenges on that one. Maybe we'll address it a little later.
Exactly. And one of the interesting things that I was finding, too, that's a longer cycle that people might want to know about, is this tour of Mars in Virgo for so long this year.
Oh.
That's amazing. I think it's about the longest it can be in a sign. Yeah, it's about the longest.
Absolutely. It is. There's no way it could be any longer. I think it's extending itself out at the length of from one end to the other, the length of what it can possibly be. But it, you know, at this point in time with the economy the way it is, and that's one of the beautiful parts about astrology when you see this is that, you know, it is time for people to watch what they're doing on a day-to-day basis, you know, and really focus on the work that they need to do every day. And that's what Mars in Virgo does, is it motivates people to say, okay, we need to pick up and do this. And at this point in time with the foundational changes that have been coming through, you know, Pluto and all of our other planets, I think it's really a great time for people to get back to rolling up their sleeves and getting back to what is important, and let's work on what is important.
Exactly. Now, for those that are listening, Mars is a planet of action, decision, blood, war, libido. It gets things done. And Virgo is it's a mutable Earth sign, where it analyzes things to a conclusion. So what Mars in Virgo does is it allows us to act on the conclusions we've drawn from thinking and thinking again and working our plan. The upside of Mars in Virgo is it can be very, very industrious. You can get a lot done. The downside is it can be critical and overly perfecting in its nature. Correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't pick on yourself during this period of time. Absolutely. That is, you know, and it can lead to depression, because what happens is, in that overanalyzation a lot of times, is that people tend to blame themselves for what cannot be done, when some things are just out of our control, and we have to learn the words, so be it, let it be, and walk away, when instead of saying, well, I could have, I should have, I would have. And with Mars being in Virgo, it gives you that power to either, you know, walk away or to dig your heels in. And that's a choice that people have right now. It's either, you know, should I keep continuing down this path, or should I take and walk away and scrap it and start new?
Exactly. And I think that people are going to make some, they're going to notice Mars being in Virgo a lot because of that T-square with the lights during the lunar eclipse. And I think that people are going to be getting very excited about the things that they want to do because the sun was in Sag, okay? And the moon in Gemini, they have, like, a lot of ideas. But they could end up juggling so much, they could burn out a little bit here over the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I find myself wearing those shoes, actually. I do.
And here again, you can only do what you can do. There's only 24 hours in a day, and it's learning how to let go. And again, that's one of the beauties of having Uranus and Aries right now, is the letting go. It does give that fire energy to say, okay, let's stop it or let's go, you know. And even though it may be challenging for some of us to make that choice, it's the best way of handling it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Very much I talked about at this point in time, living in the moment and living in the now, being very present in everyday activities, everything you're doing every day, being very present in there and not judging whether you're not doing enough or whether you need to do something else or anything else. It will guide you. There's no question about that, that priorities will drop and other things will become a priority during this period of time. It's kind of like a roller coaster ride. But it's really clearing a path here, you know, and that's a great part about it, is that if you follow it on the day-to-day and are very present on the day-to-day, things will fall into place as need be. Not necessarily as we like them, but as need be.
Exactly. Exactly. If anyone's listening and they would like to ask a question about their own chart or some of the cosmic influences that they've been addressing, our number to call in is 213-286-6741. And I just wanted to also tell you a little bit more about myself and Jacqueline. I personally live in Roanoke, Virginia. And it's a beautiful place. I live at the Blue Ridge Mountains. I do my readings out of the Lifestream Center, which is a wonderful all-faith center for healing and enlightenment. And Jacqueline's basically in two different parts of the country, aren't you, Jacqueline?
Depending on the time of the year. I live in the wintertime, and my predominant home is in Florida, and beautiful Treasure Coast of Stuart, Florida. And in the summertime, I spend several months up in the northeast and outside of Cleveland, Ohio, right off of Lake Erie in a little town called Painesville.
Yes, where you do your organic gardening stuff.
Yes, I do my readings and my work out here. I work at the Spark of Divine in Vero Beach. It's a wonderful metaphysical center that is a teaching and learning center, as well as has many different aspects of the metaphysics. And I have my own place at the B&A Flea Market in Stuart, where I read every weekend. And then I go up to Ohio and do all my organics and bring them home. And we have wonderful organics all year long that I eat, and that's a great thing about Ohio. But I still work up there, but it's minimal. I don't have a specific shop there.
And the other exciting thing is that both of us will do readings by phone, where we do record them for you, and we'll take a look at your chart personally and talk to you on the phone and record it for you so you can review it later. And then it usually makes more sense the second time, because astrology does have so much information. I'm reading out of this place now here in Roanoke called A Little Bit Hippie, The Next Generation. It's just this darling creative store. So on Fridays from 2 to 6, I'm there doing mini readings for people. And it's so fun and festive there. Oh, I think we do
That's
have a caller.
Let's
see. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how are
Hello.
You doing tonight?
Hi. Really quick. Oh, wow, like an astrological reading. I would like to look at financial losses or gains, or what kind of drama do you see for me in the next coming weeks with finance and property and stuff like that?
Okay,
what's
give
your
us
birthday?
Your birthday? Did you give us your birthday?
Oh, I'm sorry. 4/20/84.
And do you know what time you were born?
Not really. I'm going to just give you 12 o'clock, and I'm sorry for that. I know.
Right.
And
where
were you born?
In the afternoon?
Actually, in the morning time. In the morning.
And where were you born?
Okay.
In Pennsylvania.
What city?
Philadelphia.
Philly.
Yep.
Okay. Let's take a look here.
Do you work for a large institution?
Not yet. Is there something?
Looks like you're going to be able to get through the front door here, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
It looks really good in here. It's coming real soon, too. I mean, it could be January. It's coming. It's right around the corner.
So
I'm
going to
tell you, hon, I'm going to take it a little differently as far as your – because you asked about the financial situation. And, yeah, I agree with that. There's a career change, some kind of large institution, well-foundational institution, big – this would be something big, corporation, government, something like that. But I'm going to say, because looking at your natal chart, the one thing that, you know, you have to look at as far as your financial situation is that you have Aquarius on your – second house, okay? And what that does is, but you have nothing in your second house, which is personal finances is your second house, okay? Which means your money comes and goes, and it comes and goes dramatically, okay? That is not your focus in life. is what I'm going to say. Your focus is more towards what you're doing, not towards the financial gain you'll make out of it. If you do what you love, the money will come, basically, is what your chart tells you, okay? So it's definitely going to be something that it has the potential of being very large in your lifetime, okay? It depends on your actions and what you do as far as your style of life. You know, I'm not saying career, I'm saying way of life, because your work is more of a way of life than a specific career. You're not a doctor, a lawyer, or some traditional professional that's going to stay in one particular job your whole entire life. Your work transforms and changes others, and you have to be motivated by that. So I'm sorry, I looked at your chart and that's what I saw. So, Aphrodite, what do you think?
Well, I really feel that, again, a lot of it is about lifestyle, but I do see her becoming more and more financially stable. And I feel that, you know, this spring and summer, great energy around the home, great energy about family, feeling that you have something now that you can really partake of in a very strong growth pattern here where you are going to stabilize. I mean, I don't see you winning the lotto, but you can play if you want. But I really love the chart, and I love the planets that are transiting your second house, because it's all about health and wellness, and it's about you coming back to a really good attitude about things and feeling that you do have a new foundation. You have something to work with in your garden of life, and you're going to feel you just have more to work with to get more creative and happy with your life. As Jacqueline pointed out, your lifestyle is looking pretty good here for the new year for you. Okay?
What's that giant institution that you see? What is that?
You've got a lot of nice angles to your 10th house, which is about career versus a job. You've got Pluto and Capricorn sitting on your ascendant, which just would indicate that you're going to be empowered, probably working for a large institution that's partially government-funded or regulated. But the energy looks like you're going to get something that you can really sink your teeth into. But we're about 10 seconds before we have to sign off. We're so glad you called in tonight. And you have a splendid holiday season.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Good luck.
This has been the Illumination Station. Thank you so
good
much.
Night.
Good night. Good night. See you next week.
See you next week.
Are you there?